really glad to see you this morning. I do want to conduct a brief survey. How many of you woke up 15 minutes ago and went, oh no, none of you? All right. Oh wait, one of you, and he's one of our speakers for today. My name is Callie. I'm one of the pastors here at First Presbyterian Church, and we're so glad that you are here with us this morning. You may have noticed on your bulletins that today we celebrate the gifts of women. And you might remember a couple weeks ago I gave a sermon on sexism and stuff in the church, and I might be getting a little bit of a reputation around here. But before you go and think again, I want to say that this comes from our denomination. The PCUSA celebrates at least once a year the gifts of women. And so they put out a whole curriculum and a whole worship service to do. We are not doing that worship service, but we are still celebrating the gifts. And this came also out of one of the gifts of the women that we have in this congregation. Jean Hall, if you know her, and I know I saw her there, sorry to point you out, but Jean Hall came to Shimiko and to me and said, we've got to celebrate the gifts of women. We've got to do it. And when Jean Hall tells you to do something, you listen, right? So you can thank her after. Today is going to be a little bit different, though. We have many preachers. We are not having a formalized sermon. And throughout the order of worship, throughout our time of worship, different speakers will get up and tell us some stories about the women who have made an impact in their lives. And so I hope that this will be a diverse group of people. I know that they are bringing stories of hope and of wisdom and of inspiration. And so I just hope that you will give them the love and the support that you give us all the time. Also, I just want to let you know about one or two announcements. As you know, that email, I think an email came out from Stephen this week about just how we are addressing illness and trying to keep people safe and healthy here in the church. This is a place, we want this to be a place of healing and of wholeness. And so one of the things that is really important to us is protecting those who are vulnerable amongst us. And there are many people in our congregation who are immune suppressed or just for whatever reason are vulnerable to illness. And so for that reason, we won't, as we haven't been, we will not be touching when we pass the peace. And we also will not be passing the offering plate. Instead, in the back of the sanctuary, throughout the back of the sanctuary, are offering plates. And if we would just ask that you would put your offering there as you leave, and or you can always give online as well. I'll announce that again later in the service, but I just wanted to put your mind towards that. And one other thing I want to practice with you before is a way of passing the peace. Is in American Sign Language. I am not fluent in American Sign Language. I learned this yesterday. So if you are, grace, please, grace to me. But if you will put your hands like this, and then it's just simply turning them over, and then this with you. So let's go. So it's peace be with you. And we'll do that again later. And again, if you need to correct me, please do. And also with you is like this, and also with you. And so if that is the way that you want to share peace, I think that's a beautiful way of sharing peace in these days. So let us now quiet ourselves. Remember who you are, beloved child of God. Remember whose you are, known, beloved child of God. and let us worship.
And would you please stay seated but sing with me, with us, as we sing the first verse of For Everyone Born.
Join me in our invitation to worship this morning. I'll read one if we can read all together. We celebrate women's voices proclaiming wisdom. We honor women's lives forging new paths. We remember women's faith strong amid challenge. We anticipate women's vision calling us into the future. Past, present, and future. Our lives join with women everywhere.
And now, won't you stand as you're able, and we'll continue singing For Everyone Born.
This morning, I'm going to talk to you about a story of some ancient women, long, long ago. And in fact, from the Old Testament of the Bible in Judges 4 and 5. Way back, it's probably a story that you haven't heard in a while. You're not necessarily opening this part of the Bible every day. But in Judges 4 and 5, it describes a time of turmoil and a time of violence and war. And for the Israelite people, and then followed by a time of peace. And chapter 5 in particular tells a story in a poem, an ancient poem, using very ancient Hebrew. And in this poem, there are two women that set the center stage. One of them is named Deborah. She's a judge, someone who helps people make decisions, and helps lead her people. She's also a prophet. And she leads the Israelites into battle. There's also another woman named Jael, less well known. She's an ordinary housewife. And in the story, she's just hanging out in her tent. And in comes the leader of the enemies. And she is very decisive in her actions. And she violently kills him, bringing about peace. I know, it's quite the story. And we're going to get back to them in a second. But when I was 22, and I was quite naive, I thought, I really wanted to know more about my faith, and I wanted to grow and learn about the basis of Christianity. And I already had a degree in mathematics, and I thought, well, okay, I'm used to being the only woman in a classroom, and I thought, well, I'm going to go to seminary. And it's okay that I'm a woman. It's not going to be a big deal. But I didn't know that I would be only the second Master of Divinity woman student at this institution, and I didn't realize that it would be 3 years of a lot of struggle, a lot of challenges, and in some ways, battle with proving myself and proving that I was there, and it didn't matter my gender, that I had just as much to be intelligent and to ask questions and to really pursue my faith in that way. And during this time, I spent a lot of my time researching. The main focus of my research was Hebrew language, and particularly the poetry and the prophets in the Old Testament. And so this poem really spoke to me. Even though a lot of the violence in the Old Testament made me uncomfortable, and likely makes you uncomfortable, this poem, we can still look at the symbolism, and it speaks to me about the strength of these women. Ancient poetry is very strange, and it's often sort of mythological in nature, and so you sort of have to read it with that feeling. But I wonder if the story of this poem talks about and can challenge us into the strength and the power of women, and is a call for us to rise up, to be strong in the midst of challenges and turmoil, and even the violence that we all face every day. In the poem, Deborah is called a woman, called a mother for God's people. And this imagery of being a mother of God's people, of caring for God's people, and even if we appear to be an ordinary housewife, just like Jael, she was an ordinary housewife, and yet she became an agent of change and bringing about the kingdom of God, change in God's kingdom. And so I would challenge you today to think about and be challenged in your strength and to bring about justice and peace and in your story and in those around you.
If we haven't met at all, my name is Becca. I work here with the kids and their families, and just want to let you know if you're visiting today that, can you hear me at all? Okay. If you're visiting today that kids are welcome to stay in the service throughout the entire service, but we do offer class and we'll dismiss in just a few minutes after our blessing.
Same thing if you're in middle school or high school, you're welcome to stay, but you're also welcome to come join me following the blessing.
Right, and if any kids want to come on up for just a moment here on the steps, hey guys, it's good to see you, or you can just stay right there too. You all are. I know. This is good to see you guys. Hey, I was wondering, do any of you like to get gifts? Yeah? Yeah. It's pretty fun when you get gifts. Do you like to give gifts? Maybe not as much sometimes? Well, that's okay. That's fair. But, you know, so today we were talking, maybe you've heard a little bit the word gifts of women, and we hear this word gift a lot in the church. We talk about the gifts that each of us are, the gifts that each of us have to bring. We talk about the gift of God's love that all of us get to know about is for us, is for you, and you get to share with others too. And what's kind of funny about saying gifts is that it's not always just like we picture maybe a present all wrapped up that you can actually give someone and hold and feel and see. And that's not always what we're talking about when we say we have a gift to to bring. Sometimes the greatest, actually, I think the greatest gift that we can give is the gift of God's love to others. And sometimes that's not a really big thing that everyone sees. Sometimes it's just a small thing, like saying something kind to someone. Or maybe you see someone being treated unfairly, like you're playing a game with your friends, and for some reason, they're not letting someone else play, and you could say, hey, that's not okay, and try and invite them in, or maybe go play a game with them. There are all sorts of little and big ways that you can show love to others. And so we're gonna say our blessing today, and this is something that we all do together, where everyone out here, we wanna bless the kids and say this blessing over their life, but you guys also get to give a gift of saying this over everyone here. So I'm gonna invite you just to put your hands out to each other, and if reading is a little hard, that's okay. You can still show us that you are saying these words just with your hands inside your heart, okay? You are loved by God no matter what. May you know love, grow in love, and show love to others. And all God's children said, amen. So you guys can go back to your parents or out to class.
My name's Martha Henderson, and I'd like to speak really about two women that have influenced me, and the song that we just sang is a wonderful way to remember a woman who was instrumental in creating the kind of science and work I did as a researcher in environmental science, and that was Rachel Carson. And many of you might remember her as being the author of a very important book, Silent Spring, and helped us in the 70s to outlaw the use of pesticides and some chemicals in the environment. And she's been very important for those of us as women who tried to follow this science and the logic of environmental studies and sciences. I retired from that career of hardcore research and teaching, and when I came here to Bend, in this church, I also joined an organization called the Jesuit Volunteer Encore Program, which is for seniors who enjoy volunteering, but with a bit of a spiritual perspective in that way. And I know joining up the Jesuits, I could hear my now deceased Scottish Presbyterian father saying, what are you doing joining with the other side? But I have to say that learning and meeting people through that organization, most of them women, that I've learned to balance our sort of staunch, hardworking Presbyterian way of doing things with a much more gentle, more embracing community of people who are dedicated to service. And I have found that to be a great balance in my life. One of the people I met through the JV Corps is Mary Helen Zabis. She is a program manager at the Sacred Art of Living Center, and her job there is to teach other people to be guides and helpers in hospices and hospitals with people who are, as we say here, moving from one life to more life. Mary Helen is a very joyful person. She used to be a nun. I think of these crazy wild Jesuit women I know as they used to be nuns. She was a mother superior. She has sometimes talked about the difficulties and challenges of that particular job. And she resigned from that and moved on to a more joyful life. And that inspired me to think about moving on from my science world to a more joyful life. In helping teach guides through this process of life to more life, the program that Mary Helen works in is now becoming an international commodity. And she's worked with many communities and hospital people here in Bend, but in other parts of the United States, in Canada. And she, this morning, is actually leading a webinar with people in Ireland. And so the program that's gotten started here in Bend has become a major export. And while we often think of Bend as being an exporter of beer and ales, I think that this service that she is providing is probably one of our most sacred. At a recent meeting of the JV Corps, she talked about her life. And in that life story, she talked a little bit about how, as a young woman, she was told something that became very distressing and created a great deal of suffering in her life. And I had the same experience. And when she related that story, I was able to say, that's also caused some suffering in my life as well. And I was very inspired by her because she spoke of the ability to forgive. She spoke of the ability of learning how suffering brings us closer to God and that God teaches us through suffering. And I found that very inspiring. In fact, her words to me were, I do this work that I do today so that others may not suffer. And I think that's important in the way we think about the Passion Week. We think about Christ's death and then his resurrection and how that system of loss and then renewal is a very important message that we as Christians enjoy and that makes us the joyful people that we can be in God's world. Mary Helen also took a time out to tell me a great deal about Celtic Christianity, and I've been so inspired by learning about this early faith of even our own Presbyterian Church. And in learning more about Celtic spirituality, I was able to think about people, women like Rachel Carson, who in many ways had a very difficult time as a biologist and was denied many roles as doing real biology science, but became a writer instead. And of course, we're very thankful for her work. But in a Celtic world, someone like Rachel Carson would have been seen as a very connected woman with Earth. She would have been seen as a prophetess, and she would have been given a much more recognition and honor for the work that she has done. I think of our younger women today, like Greta Thunberg and many of the women students that I've worked with who are going out to do good science, but doing it with joy and with some of less of the burden that Rachel Carson had to suffer. So while I think of suffering, I think that we in this Easter week and Lent can think of the joy that is to come at Easter. I'm very happy to know Mary Helen. She's certainly brought a lot of inspiration to my life as a retired person, and I'm going to miss her. She is retiring herself and moving back to Ohio, but I wanted to share that story with you today and the joy that we have as Christians. Thank you.
As we turn to God in confession, we remember that confession is just the beginning. It's the place that we start so that healing and wholeness can enclose us in loving arms, so that God can begin to work on our hearts and our minds. So let us confess together. Keeper and companion of us all, forgive us. You call us, like Eve, to co-create new worlds, but we turn away and backslide into the comfort of our known reality. You call us, like Miriam, to dance for freedom, but we turn away and glory in how far we have come, forgetting how far our sisters have yet to travel. You call us, like Deborah, to judge our world, to make decisions and offer counsel, but we turn away and apologize for our anger and compromise our positions. You call us, like Naomi and Ruth, to love each other, but we turn away and compete, making enemies of those most like us. You call us, like Mary, to be faithful bearers of your word, but we turn away and believe the myths of our inadequacy. You call us, like Thecla and Phoebe, to begin a new kind of church, but we turn away and accept a place in the system, rationalizing things as they are. Today we repent and we turn from our old ways and commit ourselves to new partnerships and to new visions for a different heaven and earth. Friends, hear and believe the good news. We are forgiven, we are loved, we are held. Amen. And as we go to share the peace, let us just review like this. And then, so it's like, it's peace be with you. Again, don't take my word for it. But peace be, wait, hang on. Peace be with you. One more time. Peace be with you and also with you. Let us share the peace of Christ. How'd it go? Did you all just get it perfectly? All right. Well, we'll keep trying. We'll keep trying. And then I also, like, maybe go home and YouTube how to actually say that and see if I'm doing it correctly. One of the ways that we also share peace with one another is praying for one another. And so in this time, we invite your prayers. We invite those places in your life in which you seek hope, those places in your life in which you have found joy. And Becca and I will come around. We are not going to pass the microphone, but we will lean in and hold it for you. And if you would put your mouth as close to it as our arms can reach, that's not how we do it, is it? Sorry, I wasn't here last week. You will say it, we will listen, and we will repeat back what it is. However it happens, we want to hear your prayers, and we'll make it work. God will hear them. So, you are invited to share. Yes. Oh, we're going to do it this way.
Gratitude for the women whose shoulders we stand upon.
Thank you. God, in our gratitude, hear our prayers.
Prayers for a coworker that has a brand new little grandbaby, so obviously very happy about that, but the little girl needs heart surgery, so prayers for her safe surgery in the coming months.
God, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
How ironic it is that I wore my women's suffrage pin today.
God, in your mercy and gratitude, hear our prayers.
Good morning, everyone. I'm a visitor from Tualatin, Oregon, and we are looking to build a contemporary service. And so I just ask for your prayers as we try to reach out and extend. And you all have a gift here. It's lovely. And I so appreciate being here this morning. So just ask for your support as we try to build this in Tualatin as well.
God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Don't touch.
I would like. Oh, you're not supposed to touch me.
The CDC says hugs are okay, actually. At least that's what
I would just like prayers for all of us to not give in to the fear for the COVID-19, because I think our fear is much worse than any disease we could get sometimes.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
For a friend that was just diagnosed with cancer.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Prayers of gratitude for all the women in this room that hold space for me and each other, from namely Linda Hawthorne, Lori Brazee, Julie Cash, Georgia Merrifield, Jackie, Lorraine Stewart, so many more. You're just, this room is so full of love, whether we see you daily or just passing in Sundays.
God, in our gratitude,
hear our prayers.
Prayers for a young couple going through divorce, and prayer for all people in relationships, and for all the ways we could be supportive of them.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
I would like to have prayers for the 29 other elected women in our state legislature, and reflect on the fact that we have a female governor, a female secretary of state, a female attorney general, and we hold a special place in the United States at this moment.
God, in our gratitude and in your continued mercy, hear our prayers.
Prayers for a teen, Molly, who's in the hospital with a flare of chronic illness.
God, in your mercy.
I'd like to give gratitude for all those strong women that are running for office.
God, in our gratitude, hear our prayers. And let us continue in prayer. Gracious and loving God, you who have called us your own, you have heard the prayers of our hearts this morning. You hear the cries that we cry silently. You know our worries. You know our fears. God, for so many who are living in fear right now, fear of hunger, fear of illness, fear of war, fear of violence, fear of hopelessness. God, we ask for your comfort, for your mercy, for your healing, for your strength. God, is our world tries to figure out how to live with new illnesses, we ask for your mercy. For those places, God, that have been impacted by climate change, by drastic weather, for Nashville as it tries to rebuild after tornadoes, we ask for your presence to be there. We thank you, God, for the women who have gone before us, for the women who stand with us, and for the women who will go after us. Continue to lead us, God, that we might be faithful to you, that we might be a hope for your world, that we might live in the way that your Son taught us to live. God, hear us now as we pray those words. He also taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please continue singing with us.
So our scripture this morning comes from the book of Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13, 17 through 18. And it is in the book of Proverbs we hear about wisdom. And wisdom is often personified as a woman. And wisdom was with God, it says in scripture, in the very beginning, creating with God. So listen to here. Happy are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy. As we thought about this service, we thought about how the wisdom of the women in our lives has been like a tree of life for many of us. The rootedness of these women, the branches, the shade and the shelter that they have provided for us, the life that they have given us. As I thought about the women in my life, my mother, of course, came to mind, but more so my grand, even not more so. Please don't repeat that. She lives in town, my mother. But my grandmother, her mom, Gigi, she was a constant in my life. From the time I was very little, we lived far away from her, but she bought me my first pair of Guess jean overalls, and that was a big deal to a 9-year-old. She taught me how to do the hula dance and bought me a real grass skirt. But more so than that, when we moved close to her when I was in sixth grade, she held family dinners at her house at least once a week. She took me to manners class, though you would never know that. She taught me and our whole family that little table rhyme that says, "Callie, Callie, big and able, get your elbows off the table. This is not a horse's stable, this is a first-class dining table." To this day, I can say it. At every meal, we sang the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I learned that doxology not as just something we say in church, but as a prayer of praise. I didn't love going to my grandmother's house. I was a teenager, and I had better things to do in the evenings. A lot of better things to do. But at every dinner, my grandmother also had awards for us. Silly awards, like, you were the nicest person today. You have a beautiful smile. You are funny. Just simple little awards, and we would get certificates and everything. I learned unconditional, not just unconditional love, but unconditional encouragement and unconditional belief in myself from her. I don't always believe in myself, but she always believed in me. And so my encouragement to you all, I have heard from many of you who are grandparents who have said to me, I don't think my grandchildren care anymore. Not that they don't care about me, but that they just have other things to do. And so I'm going to let them just do what they want to, you know, I'm going to distance myself. Don't distance yourself. You are making a difference in their life. They will never tell you that. But they will tell, they know that. And in their later life, they will look back and say, my grandmother, she believed in me. My grandfather, he was there for me. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep grandmothering and keep grandfathering. Keep being a tree of life for them. So we're going to do this part a little bit different. We're going to sing a refrain of a song, and then a storyteller is going to come up. And then we'll sing another refrain of the song, and then a storyteller will come up. And so I invite Julie. Yeah.
For you the first time, and then hopefully by the time we've repeated it a few times, you'll be able to join in with me. Here we go. She comes sailing on the wind, her wings flashing in the sun, on a journey just begun. She flies on, and in the
She was born on November 11th, 1882. During her young life, she was married and widowed twice, and from those marriages had eight children, one of whom was my father. She lived in a small thatched roof cottage at the tail end of the village. Her garden, along with a tiny wooden outhouse, were approximately 300 yards from the cemetery of the 12th century Norman Church of St. Catherine. She grew asparagus, rhubarb, and roses. As a young child in elementary school, I spent each afternoon after school with her as my mother worked. We had a set practice. I would fill her chipped enamel bowl with warm water from the rain barrel, and we would wash our hands with palm olive soap. She would put on the kettle, and I would wait in the garden for the church clock to strike 4 o'clock. Back in the kitchen, we'd sit at her scrubbed pine table, where two blue willow pattern cups of tea and her daily baked cake would sit. She'd turn on the wireless at 4:15, and we'd listen to a 15-minute story from Mrs. Dale's diary. One of the many chores I had to do was to put all the vegetable peelings, potato scraps, and slops from her daily cooking into her old wooden wheelbarrow. Pulling on her old wool coat and tattered crocheted tam o' shanter, she and I walked to her tiny allotment on the outskirts of the village. Her two adult sows would raise their trotters to the sty gate and squeal with delight as they recognized the sound of the wheelbarrow. Hens, geese, and ducks clucked and squawked at us as I went to the feed bin to scatter their supper. One of the face my fears chores was to lift the hens from their nest to find their eggs. Many were shared with family and neighbors. This small, frail, white-haired lady was often considered a crusty old dear, but she loved her animals sometimes more than people, I suspect. In the summertime on Sunday mornings, I would often accompany my grandmother to morning service at St. Catherine's. We always arrived at her favorite pew 10 minutes before the service began and quietly sat to, quote, prepare to meet the Lord as the bells loudly called the village to service. She would later ask if I understood the sermon. On the morning of April 6, 1956, my father took me to visit my grandmother. Something was different, and as I climbed the rickety staircase, he told me to be very quiet. A scratchy, frail voice said, "I'm so sorry I couldn't get out to get you a birthday card, Hillary." She took my hand as a tear fell down her cheek and wished me a happy 13th birthday. Later that afternoon, my dear, sweet grandmother, who had taught me so much about life, independence, courage, and faith, met her Lord face to face. She was 74.
She comes sailing on the wind, her wings flashing in the sun, on a journey just begun, she flies on.
This actually is a story about many women, not just one. True story. My father's father was the seventh son of a seventh son, just like in the song. Can somebody hit a blues note maybe or something here? But I don't think he had any special healing powers. My father was an only child. I grew up one of three boys. I had two cousins, both boys. My first wife and I had two, you guessed it, sons. My first wife and I married young. Life was good, and we were very happy. As a child, she was what folks used to call a tomboy, and she never had much use for girly things. She liked tools. And many of her female friends envied her for this. She was pretty much the only woman I'd ever been really close to, aside from my mother, who was, well, my mother. She passed away when our boys were in college. That's a painful story, but it's not the story I'm here to tell. The story is happier. I'm a psychologist, now retired. Most of my clients were women, for as we all know, it's women who tend to find it easier to seek help. This was a diverse group who came in all sizes and shapes, so to speak, and I'm in awe of them for what many of them had managed to endure. And I have to say, they did a whole lot to teach this dude, who could be pretty clueless at times about how the world looks and feels when you're female. As the saying goes, when one door opens, when one door closes, another one opens. After my son's mother died, the door that eventually opened led me to my wife, Shelley. And a whole new world. Those of you who know Shelley know that she is girly. She likes pretty things. And you know what? She has two daughters. I mean, I still have to pinch myself. And now we have 9 grandchildren, and guess what? 5 of them are girls. Now, for as long as I can remember, I have embraced the ideals and the aspirations of feminism. But still, I confess that for a long time, my understanding of feminism had little room for actual femininity. I just didn't get how feminism and femininity could exist together. Equal pretty much meant same in my mind. But all the women who shared their life stories with me in psychotherapy, they showed me otherwise. And my family, which now includes a wife whose feminine sense of the beautiful constantly moves me, and 2 loving, talented, graceful, and accomplished stepdaughters, each remarkably strong and wise in her own uniquely female way, they have shown me otherwise. And watching our little granddaughters just starting out on the path to womanhood, It's quite astonishing to me. Thanks to all of them, I'm now much more able to appreciate the feminine version of wisdom, the feminine way of being in the world, except for maybe all those decorative pillows on the bed. Anyway, pillows aside, I can honestly say that my world has become richer, more nuanced, and beautiful than I ever could have imagined as a young man. For this grandson of the 7th son, brother of 2 brothers, father of 2 sons, it's a profound blessing, and one for which I will always be deeply grateful.
She comes sailing on the wind, her wings flashing in the sun. On a journey just begun, she flies on. And in the passage of her flight, her songs ring throughout the night. Full of laughter, full of light, she flies on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Dolly Dittler. I was born in Pomona, California at a very early age. And I was baptized as an infant in cradle roll in Sunday school and later in youth group, et cetera, until I married and left town. But I was attached to that little church, that little Methodist church, by the people who loved me and nourished me all my life. But of course, in a group like that, even though everybody knows your name, and you know everybody else's name too, there was one woman who meant more to me than any other, and that was Lucille. Because Lucille was the one that on Sunday morning would stand up in front of all the little children sitting in little rows in their little tiny chairs and teach us songs. Wow, that was the thrill of my, that was my whole life. I spoke young, I liked words, I liked music, and I loved the songs that she taught. And as I reflect upon it now, I see that the songs and her giving me the love of music, especially hymns and church music, formed the whole basis of my own personal theology. If I didn't learn it in a hymn, I probably didn't learn it at all. Although there are loads of church school classes, but she taught me one hymn or song that I loved especially, and I have a very raspy voice this morning, but I'm going to give it a go. Can a little child like me thank the Father fittingly? Yes, oh yes, be good and true, faithful, kind in all you do. Love the Lord and do your part. Learn to say with all your heart, Father, we thank thee. Father, we thank thee. Father in heaven, we thank thee. And you know, I believed those words, not just because they were a bunch of words, but because I believed Lucille. Lucille loved what she did. She was bright and funny, the church choir director, salt of the earth, the kind of a woman without whom a church could not exist. You probably get the picture. But she believed the words, and when she taught us a song, she radiated the song. And in adult situations, she was born in the 18-something or other, I don't know, 1880s maybe. And the way people amused themselves in those days were to do readings. I don't know if you've ever heard of readings, but it was like a poem that she would learn verbatim, word for word, and she would, with her voice, do all the parts, and she could be a young, shy boy in one, and anyway, she was amazing in all of her ways. Well, the way she brought me along into a real relationship with that church and with myself was when I was about 12 or 13 or so, she invited me to sing in the church choir, the adult choir. And so all of the songs that I sat in church and learned, the part of my theology, she confirmed it, and I confirmed with myself that I belonged to that. And I believed and have actually leaned on those words yet, still in my life. And I've been singing in church choirs ever since.
She comes sailing on the wind, her wings flashing in the sun, like a journey just begun. She flies on, and in the passage of her flight, her song rings throughout the night, full of laughter, full of light. She flies on. Thank you.
everyone. It's great to have you all here. I'm Ellen Shaver. My story is probably a little bit different in that I was not born as a woman. I'm transgender. And my opening line to a lot of people when I speak about this is, how many people here can say that they've lived twice? Yeah, I have. I lived 50 years plus as a male, and today I live as who I am. The lady who probably influenced me the most was the late Christine Jorgensen, who in 1951, yes, 1951, was the first candidate of surgery from male to female. And it was done in Denmark by many of the same surgeons who did the lady who the movie was called The Danish Girl. Now, granted, that lady did not survive at all due to a hemorrhage. And we learned a great deal about who we are. But I actually met Ms. Jorgensen at Virginia Commonwealth University as a result of me being as a newscaster for a local radio station in 1973. As a result, Ms. Jorgensen and I became personal friends, and I moved to Los Angeles briefly, where we saw each other again several times, and she was very influential in making me who I am today. And I'm always going to have a special place in my heart because of how she influenced me. And, you know, it's just very grateful. But thank you. God bless you all.
She comes sailing on the wind, her wings flashing in the sun. On a journey just begun, she flies on. And in the passage of her flight, her song rings throughout the night. Full of laughter, full of light, she flies on.
I want to thank all of those who spoke, and I want to also let you know Barry was going to speak as well, but we are at time right now, and so sorry. But come to the 11, because he will give. I want to thank all of them. That was brave for them to get up and tell their story, and I know there was some fear to some of that. So. Let us pray. Holy One, each life has been shaped and touched by women. Women's stories may have been ignored or forgotten, but today we claim their worth. We give thanks for all women who have been part of your holy story, all women who form a tree of life, for leaders and liberators like Miriam, Deborah, and Esther, for poets and prophets like Huldah, Anna, Mary, and Hannah, for apostles and activists like Mary Magdalene, Lydia, and Priscilla, for the named and the nameless, all vital to the story, for women whose gifts of strength, imagination, wisdom, and compassion have been a tree of life for us, we offer our thanks. We are witnesses to the many ways that women's lives contribute to the ongoing story of God's eternal love. May this wisdom continue to take root and to grow. Amen.
And now, I want you to stand as you're able, and we'll sing together a final song for today, By Our Love. Surprise, Ian, we're jumping.
Brothers, let us come together.
There's much to be done.
have invited all of our speakers to come up and read the blessing with me. Ready? And now, rest in your God-breathed worth. Stop holding your breath, hiding your gifts, ducking your head, dulling your roar, distracting your soul, stilling your hands, quieting your voice, and satiating your hunger with the lesser things of this world. You are set apart in your right now life for the daily work of liberation and love. May you know love deeply and intimately. May you have a hunger and a thirst for the more of God. May you be satisfied by love, making your home in love, and making love your discipline, your resting place, your practice, your doctrine, your plumb line, and your identity. Friends, go in peace and go in love. Amen.